Okay, so we're going to be in Deuteronomy 18 today. We're looking at verses 15 to 19 is what we'll be looking at. Before we get into that, I want to ask you a question. What is something you look forward to with expectation?
My money back.
My money back.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, good.
Time with my kids.
Time with your kids. Okay, good. So, what else? Vacation. What else?
Healing in my family. Healing in my family.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Your family. Yeah.
Yes.
What's that? Your mom to come. Okay. When you're pregnant, you're looking forward to that baby being out, aren't you? Have you noticed that everything you said was good? Mm-hmm. No one's looking forward with expectation to getting fired, mm-hmm. or getting laid off, or to being sick, or it's all good stuff. When you look forward with expectation, that assumes something really, really good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for thousands of years, the Jewish people were looking forward to something coming with expectation. You know, we sang about it earlier, you know, O come, Emmanuel, O come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. Those are expectation songs. Those are songs looking forward to someone who's coming. And that's part of the whole Jewish experience in the Old Testament. That something that they were looking forward to was Messiah. They were looking forward to the coming of Messiah. Okay, Christmas is the time when we celebrate what the Jewish people were looking forward to. The coming of Messiah. The coming of Jesus. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. And so the Christmas season then is a season of expectation. Christmas Day celebrates his birth. But the season before Christmas Day is a celebration of what's coming. And that's where we are right now. We're in that celebration of what's coming. And so just as a mother has an expectation at the birth of a child, the coming, you know, before the baby is born, so has God put that expectation into the hearts of his people before Jesus was born. It's the same feeling. And for us, before the celebration of his birth. Now, Scripture is full of statements anticipating someone who is coming. Here are some of them. I will raise up for you a prophet. Behold, my servant, he will be a light to the nations. But you, Bethlehem, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The days are coming when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. And with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. When they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him. On that day, the mourning in Jerusalem shall be as great as the mourning for Hadad-Rimon. On that day, there shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. Now, I just gave you a bunch of scriptures. And all of those scriptures are looking forward in anticipation to a Messiah who's coming sometime in the future. From the perspective of the scriptures, from our perspective, it's the past, but from their perspective, it was the future. It's looking forward to a Savior. They're looking forward to a king, a servant, a prophet. I could give more scriptures because there's lots of them. But for the next few weeks, we're kind of in Christmas season, I want to take one scripture just each week and help us see what aspect of Messiah this scripture is talking about. This week, we're in Deuteronomy 18. And so it's going to talk about a prophet whom God is going to raise up. I'm going to read verses 15 through 19. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. That's Moses speaking, by the way. From among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." Okay, so this prophet that God's going to raise up in Deuteronomy 18, it actually carries kind of like a dual meaning. It can refer to, in general, the prophetic office filled by men like Isaiah and Jeremiah, and you know, there were lots of prophets. But it also carries another meaning. It refers to a man like Moses. Look at verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. And verse 18, God's now speaking. I will raise up for them a prophet like you. And so this prophet's going to speak to the people. In other words, it's one man. Yes, you could read this as the prophetic office, and actually it can carry that meaning, but it also carries another meaning. It's referring to a specific man. In fact, if you go to the New Testament, you're going to find the New Testament's going to read it much this way. And so I'm going to read just some scriptures for you. This is from the New Testament, and it's going to be talking about this scripture we just read in Deuteronomy 18. This is John chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 21 and 22. It says, they're talking to John the Baptist. Actually, I'll back up a little bit. This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" So they're asking John the Baptist, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "Well, what then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I'm not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." And so they said, "Well, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" When they're asking, "Are you the prophet?" they're referring to Deuteronomy 18. That's the prophet that God's going to raise up, like Moses. Same book, John. Go to chapter 6 if you're following along. I'm going to read just verse 14. And it says this. When the people saw the sign that Jesus had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." That's a reference to Deuteronomy 18. In other words, the people, the Jewish people, are reading Deuteronomy 18 as if Deuteronomy 18 is referring to one man who's going to come at some point in the future. That's you see that in the culture at the time. Acts chapter 3, I'm just going to go there. And I'm going to start in verse 19 and read. Peter here is preaching. And he says this, "Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people.' And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days." Okay, you see what Peter is doing. He introduces Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus. And then he says, he's really suggesting that Jesus is this prophet that Moses was speaking about a long time ago. And he actually quotes Deuteronomy. We just read Deuteronomy 18. We read it again coming from the mouth of Peter. Peter quoted him. And so this prophet in Deuteronomy 18 in Scripture is Jesus. And so the New Testament talks not just about prophets in general, it does talk about them, but it also talks about the prophet. There's a difference between those. Different men can be a prophet, and Scripture talks that way, but only one man can be the prophet. And Scripture talks that way, too. It talks both ways, because both of those things are true. There are prophets, and there is the prophet. John the Baptist is asked if he is the prophet, and he denies it. But if you think of who John the Baptist was, he really was a prophet. But he wasn't the prophet. He denies being the prophet, but he doesn't deny being a prophet. The people see miracles of Jesus and they believe he is the prophet. Not just any prophet, the prophet. Peter preaches that Jesus is the prophet and even quotes Deuteronomy 18 in doing so. And when all of the parties are in dialogue in the New Testament about this the prophet, no one says, "What are you talking about? What is this the prophet thing?" Like everybody understands the concept. They understand what's going on. No one says, "The prophet, there's lots of prophets. What are you talking about, the prophet?" No, they get it. The New Testament points to Jesus as being this prophet. So, let's go back to Deuteronomy 18 and look at what Deuteronomy 18 says about this prophet. The prophet God will raise up. 1, verses 15 and 18. And we already read this. He will be like Moses. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, Moses says. And then God speaking, I will raise up for them a prophet like you. Verse 18. This prophet will be like Moses. 2. He will have and he will speak the words of God. Verse 18 and 19. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him, and whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." So he's going to be speaking the words of God to the people. 3, he will be an Israelite. Verse 15, a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. Verse 18, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. And so this prophet has to be an Israelite. He's coming from the brothers of the Jewish people. Which, by the way, Muslims try to say that this scripture is a place in the Bible that refers to Muhammad. They will say that. The problem is, Muhammad wasn't from among their brothers. He wasn't a Jew. And so the scripture rules Muhammad out. But some of you work with Muslims, and you will hear that from Muslims sometimes, that, oh yeah, the Bible talks about Muhammad, and they'll point to this scripture. Well, no, it doesn't refer to Muhammad. 4, God will hold people accountable to listen to this prophet. It says, verse 15, he describes the prophet and it says, it is to him you shall listen. Verse 19, whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. Okay, so all of this is in the text about who this prophet is. He's going to be like Moses. He's going to have and speak the words of God. He has to be an Israelite. And God's going to hold the people accountable to listen to him. God has specially said, you got to listen to this person. So, how was Jesus like Moses? Well, lots of ways. First of all, we'll start with the easy one. He was an Israelite. He speaks for God. You could say, well, yeah, lots of people fit those. Isaiah fits that. True. He's a deliverer. Moses delivered the people from slavery in Egypt. Jesus delivered the people from slavery to sin. He's a deliverer, just like Moses. He's a ruler. That's what Messiah is. He's a priest. He spoke face to face with God. He did mighty works. Moses parted the Red Sea. Jesus, y'all know all the mighty works Jesus did. He represents God to the people. In the text, that's verses 16 and 17. If you look at it, it is to him you shall listen. Now verse 16. Just as you desired of the Lord your God. This is Moses talking. You the Israelites. As you Israelites desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. So he's referring back to a story that's in Exodus where the people are afraid. Moses comes down, his face is shining. The people are afraid of the voice of the Lord. And they say, no, you go, you listen. You speak in between. You're our mediator between us. Just as Moses did that, verse 16, this prophet is going to do the same thing. He's going to be a mediator between you and God. He inaugurates a kingdom. For Moses, that kingdom was Israel. For Jesus, that kingdom was the kingdom of God. They are inaugurating a new kingdom, so to speak. He begins a new covenant. With Moses, What Moses started, we call the Old Covenant. But in Moses' day, it wasn't old. It was new. Moses is actually inaugurating a new covenant at his time. And Jesus comes along, and what does he do? He inaugurates a new covenant. And so he's like Moses in a lot of ways. And a lot of ways that none of the other prophets can really touch. There isn't any other prophet who inaugurated a new covenant and inaugurated a kingdom and did all these mighty works and was a ruler and a deliverer and there wasn't Jesus. Jesus is the one. So he'll be like Moses. That's how he's like Moses. He will have and speak the words of God. You know, you go to the New Testament and you hear things in the New Testament like this. No other man speaks the way this man does. He's a teacher with authority, the people say. He proclaims the kingdom of God. And he speaks often of himself as the Son of Man who comes on the clouds of glory and whom all the nations will serve and worship. He speaks of himself that way. In fact, Son of Man is his favorite title of himself. Jesus is not just a prophet. He is a prophet, but he's not just a prophet. He is the prophet. He is the prophet like Moses that God's people have been looking for. The prophet is coming. The prophet is coming. When he comes, he will be like Moses and deliver us. When he comes, he will speak the words of God. When he comes, you'd better listen to him. That's Deuteronomy 18. So here's the deal, guys. He came. So then, what's this mean for you and me? Well, verse 15. It is to him you shall listen. Verse 19. Whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. This means you ignore Jesus and you ignore God. It's that simple. You need to listen to him. And if you don't, you aren't even listening to God. That baby who was born in Bethlehem is the prophet above all prophets. He is the one who represents God more than any other prophet who has ever lived. He alone is the prophet who is Emmanuel, God with us. We sang about him earlier. He knows and he speaks the words of God because he is God come in the flesh. You know, God actually knows his own words. He knows them really well, and he knows them better than any human prophet, purely human prophet, could. This is why Jesus is the prophet and not just a prophet. See, Isaiah, who is a prophet, will bow before Jesus. Jeremiah will worship him. Micah and Daniel and Samuel and Elijah and all the rest, you can throw more names in there, they are all going to declare the glories of Jesus, whom they, in their role as prophets, because they are prophets, they were just faint little pictures of the prophet who was to come. 2 Corinthians. I'm going to go elsewhere in Scripture here for a moment. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and this is a comparison of Moses and Jesus. Just going to read about 5 verses. 2 Corinthians 3, starting with verse 7. It says, Paul is writing, Paul says, "Now if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone," so it's the Ten Commandments, carved in letters on stone. He's talking about Moses and Moses' ministry. And it's a ministry of death because the law to Paul brings death because you can't keep it. "Now if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory." And, I mean, you get the idea. He's comparing the ministry of Moses and the ministry of Jesus. And he's saying the ministry of Moses had glory, so much so that his face shone and the people couldn't handle it. And he's saying, if you think that was glory, you haven't seen anything. The ministry of righteousness far exceeds that. If that had glory, that's nothing compared to what Jesus had. And so the comparison is a prophet, the prophet. That's the idea. It's Jesus is far superior. Here, I'm going to read Hebrews now. I'm going to go to Hebrews 3. And this is going to compare Jesus and Moses. "Therefore, holy brothers," I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. "You who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God." Think about what he's saying there about Jesus when he puts that in there. "Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope." And so we get much the same idea. Moses, as a servant of God, had glory. He was a worthy servant. But Jesus far surpasses him, just as the builder of the house has more glory than the house. And he says God is the one who builds the house. Well, he equates Jesus with that builder here, saying and suggesting Jesus is God who builds the house. And who's the house? We are the house that has been built by Jesus. Moses was a prophet. Jesus was the prophet. Moses had glory. Jesus has more. Moses was a man whom God used. Jesus is the God who used Moses. You know, I'm reading right now Les Mis, France. By Victor Hugo. If you wanted to understand what Victor Hugo was doing through the story, Would you ask Jean Valjean, who is the main character in the story? Or would you ask Victor Hugo, who created Jean Valjean? Who's going to know better what Victor Hugo wants to do, the character or the author? See, this is the difference between Moses and Jesus. It's the same kind of difference. When Moses or Isaiah or any of the prophets speak, they speak as a character within the story of redemption. And they are characters in the know. They're part of the story. They're central characters in the story of redemption. But when Jesus speaks, he speaks as the author of the entire story. He's not just a character in the story. He created the whole thing. They are prophets. He is the prophet. You know, at the Transfiguration, think of that story. Peter and James and John, Jesus takes them off by himself. They go, there's a high mountain. They go up there. And who do they see? They see Jesus, yeah, Jesus is there with two other people, Moses and Elijah. So we got Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, all transfigured up on the top of the mountain. And Peter says, oh, this is great. Jesus, let's make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And they hear a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. And Moses and Elijah disappear. And it's just Jesus. Guys, hear that. See, Deuteronomy 18 says of the prophet, listen to him. Right? God says of Jesus in the presence of Moses and Elijah, listen to him. Same thing. Moses and Elijah are prophets. Jesus is the prophet. Listen to him. So, how do we listen to him? Well, read God's word. I mean, I'm just going to say simple stuff, right? Stuff you've heard 1,000 times. If you do not read God's word for yourself, you are crippling your faith. I'm sorry, guys. You're crippling your faith. Why would you not do that? It's kind of like not eating. You know, if you're not going to eat, you're going to get weak. That's the way it works. Okay, spiritually, if you're not going to read God's word, you're going to get spiritually weak. That's the way it works. Many years ago, when there was this movement called the Emergent Church Movement that sort of has fizzled out. Emergent churches don't really exist anymore. They sort of have turned into progressive churches. But the Emergent Church Movement was around, and I was talking to a guy who was kind of into that, about Scripture and Jesus. And he basically said that the church took Scripture too seriously. That we're not supposed to worship the Bible. We're supposed to worship Jesus. And he said, there's a difference between those things. We need to worship Jesus, not the Bible. And we need to focus more on Jesus than on the Bible. That's what he said to me. And the thing of what he has saying is that there's like a half-truth mixed in with it. He's right to say that we're to worship Jesus. That's correct. And he's right to say we need to put more focus on Jesus. Amen. I'm with you all along. Those things are right on. But I asked him this question. I said, you're right. We need to focus on Jesus. So tell me what you know about Jesus that you did not get from the Bible. And there was this long silence. Guys, you need to listen to Jesus. That's Deuteronomy 18. Listen to this prophet. God will hold you to account if you do not listen to him. But the place where you're actually going to find him is in the Bible. Neglect the Bible, and you neglect Jesus. That is the first way to listen to Jesus. Get into the Bible. I know I say that a lot, but, you know, the Christian faith is one of those things where we need to hear the same things over and over again. And this is one of those things we just need to keep hearing over and over again. Get into the Bible. Get into the Bible on your own. Second way we can hear Jesus, and that is listen to the Word of God taught and preached. This is what we're doing right now. You guys are listening to the Word of God being preached. But do not forsake the fellowship of believers. Do not do that. That is where you will hear the Word of God taught. You forsake that, and you're forsaking the teaching of the Word of God. Listening to godly preaching and teaching helps you understand what Jesus says. Listening to other people talk about what Jesus says actually helps you learn it. It helps you listen to him. But there's more to this listening to him than meets the ear. The next thing you got to do is obey what you hear. You know, when God says in Deuteronomy 18 that you must listen to the prophet, he's not saying, just hear the words and move on. That's not what God's saying. In Scripture, for you to listen to God is to obey God. If you do not obey, you are not listening. You know, a mother tells her daughter, go clean the room. And the daughter says, okay. And she takes off and never cleans the room. And when the daughter gets home, the mother's upset. They're laughing. I think this must have happened in this home. The mother's upset at the disobedience. And she says, did you hear what I said? And the daughter says, yeah, I heard you. Then why didn't you do it? You see, to the mother, hearing and obeying are the same thing. If you didn't obey, you didn't hear what I said. Now, to the daughter, she's making a distinction there. And of course, in the way we use words, words have ranges of meanings, you know, and there's obey and listen, and there's a range of meanings where listen doesn't always include obey, but there's a range, and we use it in English where they're the same thing. We use it that way in English sometimes. It's that way in the Bible. When it talks about listening and hearing God, most of the time it's talking about obeying and doing. If you don't obey Jesus, you're not listening to Jesus, even if you can quote him. If you quote him and disobey him, we got a disconnect there somewhere. Now, obedience, it's hard to talk about obedience. For several reasons. One reason is, I'm a sinner myself. I wrestle with obedience as much as you guys do. That's one of the reasons why it's hard to talk about obedience. But another reason it's hard to talk about obedience is that a lot of people, when they hear the word obedience, they hear the word legalism. And they think that, oh, you're neglecting grace when you talk about obedience. And no, I'm not. Actually, obedience biblically comes by grace. Obedience isn't something that you're just going to, you know, pull up your bootstraps and grit it out. Now, I'm going to do this. It comes by grace, guys. God's going to do this. But you have to let him. And so obedience comes by grace through faith, and it's a war. It's just a flat-out war. And there are steps forward and there are steps backwards in the obedience business. Where you, okay, you did well. Oh, you didn't do so well. Oh, you, okay, no. Obedience works this way in the progression of the life of a believer. And so obedience is not going to be perfect here on earth. So when I say obey, I hope you don't get this in this mind, I got to be perfect right now. You don't. But let me ask this question. Are you even in the war? Are you even fighting? Are you fighting to obey by grace? Are you struggling to obey by grace? Or do you even care whether you obey or not? Where are you in that? That says a whole lot more than how successful you are today. See, if you don't even care to obey, you are not listening to the prophet. Because if you're listening to the prophet, obedience really does matter to you. You want to obey. You may fail, and you may have to confess and come back to the Lord. But you want it. Now, obeying Jesus involves a lot of things. When you start thinking of what he said, you know, think of his teachings, there's a lot of stuff in there. I mean, it deals with humility, right? Blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the poor in spirit. These sorts of things. Attitudes. It deals with honesty about your sin. It deals with letting go of money. It deals with caring for the poor. Jesus talked a lot about those things. Showing mercy, forgiving your brother, trusting in his ransom for you on the cross, rejoicing in his promise and in his presence. And more. He dealt with life. Jesus talked about life. So where is it that you need to obey the prophet? The one who has come into the world. Jesus, the baby in the manger. He's the one you have to listen to and obey. If you do what he says, you are blessed. Like a man who builds his house on a rock, right? If you don't do what he says, you are cursed. Like a man who builds his house on sand. The prophet of all prophets has come, and we celebrate him at Christmas. And so what I want to ask you to do is, this is how we're going to close, is I want you to think of some place that you struggle to obey him in and ask him to help you by his grace in that area, whatever that area happens to be. I'm going to give you just a minute to think about that, and if you're writing, taking notes, you can write it down. Okay, what I want to do is this. I want to give us a time, maybe just a minute, to pray on your own, to whatever it was you came up with that, you know, God wants you to work on. I want you to ask God for help there. And then I'm going to ask someone to close us. Handi, would you do that? Give us just a short time for people to pray on their own for what we were just talking about, and then you close us.